The top story right now, the big picture. India witnessing a downward trend in COVID cases, reported the lowest daily spike in infections since the 2nd of April with 80,834 new cases in the last 24 hours. India, the world's second worst hit country, has so far logged over 2.93 crore cases of the coronavirus. India's test positivity rate, that is the number of positive cases identified for every 100 tests, continues to be in the decline. For the sixth straight day now, the positivity rate has remained below the 5% mark at 4.25%. And shops, malls and restaurants in Delhi will open from tomorrow as COVID numbers in the national capital have dropped to a three-month low. However, the chief minister says this will be on a trial basis for a week, while COVID cases will be monitored to see if they rise.
Delhi will further unlock starting Monday. Shops, malls and restaurants will open as COVID cases in the national capital drop to a three-month low.
जितने मार्केट्स हैं, मार्केट कॉम्प्लेक्स हैं, मॉल्स हैं, वो अब पिछले हफ्ते ऑड इवन था, आज कल से पूरी तरह से सारी दुकानें खुल सकती हैं, 10 बजे, लेकिन 10 बजे से 8 बजे तक शाम को, और जो रेस्टोरेंट हैं, वो 50% सीटिंग कैपेसिटी पे काम करेंगे।
So what is allowed and what is not? All educational institutions, social, political, cultural, religious gatherings, swimming pools, stadiums, movie halls, public parks and entertainment parks, spas to remain closed. From 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., markets and malls shall reopen while the odd-even system ends. Restaurants with 50% seating for a one-week trial, weekly markets with 50% vendors, places of worship but no devotees allowed, salons to open. But even as Delhi unlocks in a phased manner, an increased footfall at vegetable markets, but with strict guidelines.
देखिए जो लोग मास्क नहीं लगा रहे हैं हम सबसे पहले तो उनसे अपील करते हैं और अगर उसके बाद नहीं मानते हैं तो उनका चालान किया जा रहा है मंडी के अंदर लगातार एपीएमसी द्वारा चालान की प्रक्रिया जारी है लोगों को समझाया जा रहा है उसके बाद भी अगर कोई नहीं मान रहा है तो हम उनके लाइसेंस निरस्त करने की भी प्रक्रिया अपनाते हैं पर अभी तक ऐसा कुछ हुआ नहीं है
पिछले दो महीने से काफी लॉस हुआ है कस्टमर्स नहीं थे और बिजनेस पर बहुत बड़ा इफेक्ट पड़ा इस चीज का
देखो वर्कर को हम 50% सैलरी तो दे ही रहे थे जो हमारे उनके 50% सैलरी हमने दी है अपनी जेब से दी है वो टोटल लॉस है वो भी कहाँ से लेंगे जो हमारे रेगुलर कस्टमर्स हैं मतलब रेगुलर सारे रेगुलर ही हमारे जो एम्प्लॉयज हैं उनको भी तो चाहिए पैसे वो कैसे सर्वाइव करेंगे उसके बिना तो हमने उनको 50% दिया वो सब भी लॉस ही हमारा हमने कोई अन तो कुछ करा नहीं है इसमें
लाइक इट शुड नॉट बी लॉकडाउन बट इट शुड बी अनलॉक एंड विद प्रोटोकॉल्स एंड ऑल इट शुड बी अनलॉक इट शुड बी अनलॉक
With active cases below the 5,000 mark and positivity rate at 0.3%, with strict protocols in place for markets, Delhi is unlocking in a phased manner at a time when it also braces for a possible third wave. With camera person Manu Nair in Delhi, Shanakshi Chakravarti for NDTV.
But after Bihar and Madhya Pradesh, now Maharashtra has added over 8,000 deaths in its data reconciliation process over the past 2 weeks. However, the state health department officials have clarified that the reconciliation process was owing to delayed reporting of deaths and not because of underreporting or misreporting, saying there's no question of hiding the death count.
Over 8,800 deaths, or what are now being called old deaths, were added to the Maharashtra figures in the past 12 days as a part of massive data backlog exercise, taking the total tally of deaths in the state to 1.08 lakh. Since June 1, among the districts that delayed reporting these deaths are Pune, which did not report 1,368 deaths, followed by Thane, 1,167, Nagpur, 503. Other districts include Nasik, Aurangabad, Ahmednagar and Yavatmal. The single day highest reconciled data was on Friday, which was 2,213 deaths. The Maharashtra government has been adding previous week's data in almost every state health bulletin. However, after criticism from the opposition, the state took up a massive exercise to reconcile missed data. What the state health department does each day at midnight is download the death list from the analytics portal at the state and the district level. Duplicate entries are taken out. The list is sent to districts for verification and the final list is sent to the state by 5 p.m. According to the state government, delays have happened because district-level hospitals do not update real-time data, shortage of manpower due to overwhelming cases in April and May. Hospitals have been busy with oxygen and bed management during the second wave.
I will summarize by saying mortality statistics, crude data is not to be relied upon by the common man. And secondly, it is the refined statistics and which is required for planning. So, always read the data with correction factors which are necessary and which are talked earlier.
State Health Department has provided a long explanation on how it collects and collates data and denied hiding any information. It says a city like Mumbai has a system in place, but smaller districts lack the manpower and expertise to do so. In Mumbai, with camera person Rajendra Dhyalkar, this is Purva Chitnis for NDTV.
And the health minister today refuted a report in an international publication that claimed that COVID deaths in India could be 5 to 7 times higher than the official numbers being quoted, saying that the assessment is based on extrapolation of data without any epidemiological evidence. So do official figures mirror India's actual COVID toll this week? Bihar revised its COVID deaths by 72%. Over 9,000 deaths are now reported. But this only after the Patna High Court asked for an audit. The Madhya Pradesh government's data released on Friday also showed a gaping disparity between reported deaths and COVID deaths. So what's the reality? Are states undercounting COVID deaths in India? Can we take the numbers given to us by our governments at face value? Well, joining us now, we have Dr. T.P. Lahane. He's the Director of Medical Education and Research at the Government of Maharashtra. We have Dr. Tanmay Mahapatra, Public Health Expert and Epidemiologist, and Dr. Sarman Singh, Director of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences at Bhopal, a Senior Virologist too. Dr. Sarman Singh, I want to start with you. You know, in a worrying indicator of the possible a massive undercounting of COVID-19 deaths in Madhya Pradesh, the number of reported deaths in the states during the second wave of the pandemic was more than three times more than the average number of deaths reported in these months in pre-COVID times. However, the official figures are only a fraction of these excess deaths reported. How can this be explained, sir?
Yeah, it is a bit difficult, but it is a fact that after a lot of criticism, the data is being reconciled, and there are many factors for that. But if you see the Ministry of Health guidelines, that they are very clear that even if a corona patient dies because of committing suicide, so this is the extreme. So even then, this case should be considered as a corona positive. Many of the comorbidity patients, they will die of, you know, heart attack or other. If they are not counted as COVID, these countings were not done as per the government guidelines. So means the guidelines are clear and very, explained in detail. But probably the execution somehow, and maybe various reasons, one most important could be that district administration, they are asked to control deaths and number of cases. So sometimes it may be appreciation that in my district, the number of cases and number of deaths are less. This could be one of the reasons, but definitely there are other logistic regions also is a combination of multiple factors.
So you're admitting that there could be some efforts to downplay the seriousness of the situation, but also there are logistical problems in place. We are a country where there are states that have very poor standards of healthcare, and it's probably difficult to get the right numbers. That said, sir, if there is now an attempt to arrive at a factual, a real picture, is it possible to catch up, to follow back to 3 weeks ago when we were in the midst of the second wave and so many deaths were being reported? My question is, even now, the numbers that are being thrown up this week from Bihar, from Madhya Pradesh, Can they be factual?
Probably it is very difficult answer, difficult question to answer. But as I said, that there are, I on one of your channel, in Hindi channel, about 1 month back, I also did mention that in rural areas, because these patients, they are not registered, their investigations are not done, and therefore number will be definitely different what is actual number. So I
all
did
right.
mention about 1 month back.
All right. Dr. T.P. Lahane, joining us in the government of Maharashtra. Dr. Lahane, given what we saw in Bihar, given Bihar, given MP, why should one believe that the numbers that Maharashtra is putting out now are real, that Maharashtra hasn't attempted to underreport this?
I think that is a very wrong statement, because we are not underreporting. As you know, the infrastructure in the districts and rural area, the data operators, and then another thing is when we are updating the Wi-Fi, so there is a problems in the Wi-Fi also, internet also, and so in Maharashtra, I will tell you, we are not under reporting a single death, and all the deaths are reported. Only thing is that there was some problem, and because of that, these deaths are reported now. But if you think so, today also, we are those patients who are dying by other reasons, not because of the COVID.
Mm.
Those deaths, but they are incidentally positive, COVID positive. We are reporting them in the COVID only. And I think the national level, now we should minimum think on this issue, that those deaths which are because of other causes should be differentiated from the COVID death.
That is not happening right now. You believe that there are enough deaths due to other causes?
Yes, there are enough deaths.
So my point is, a lot of the criticism or the concerns so far have been that deaths that were actually caused due to COVID because of comorbidities were then being reported either as deaths due to heart attacks, etc. You're saying the reverse needs to be done, that we also need to focus on deaths that weren't caused due to COVID.
Yes, of course. No, it is not a reverse. What I'm saying is, those deaths which are happening because of the other causes, but incidentally they are COVID positive, we are reporting them also in the COVID, and so there is no hiding or nothing. So we are not under reporting a single death in Maharashtra. Yes, there was a communication gap, and that was in the rural Maharashtra. And we are rectifying it. Near about we have rectified it, 90-95% deaths we have rectified.
Dr. Tanmay Mahapatra, your response to that statement that there could be deaths to a patient who is COVID positive, but the death may not be due to COVID.
So first of all, definitely there can be a death which is happening to a COVID patient, but death may not be caused by COVID itself. Definitely it's possible, but let us actually get into the original problem and let us look at it in a position one step back. First of all, whenever we are actually dealing with any kind of figures, when this unprecedented pandemic struck the whole country, the whole world, we are always dealing with numbers, trying to see changes in those numbers day to day and having different knee-jerk reactions. But what was required parallelly is to ensure that, number one, developing a system to correct the known errors as much as possible so that the whole system can actually depict a better scenario. And number two, while looking at those numbers, media, decision makers, and general people understand little more than only the figures. There are five reasons at least because of which all these can be confronted and convoluted. And to directly answer to your question, do we at all have a system properly to answer the cause of death question for any death? Because
do
the
we?
Way it is generally written in the hospitals and everywhere, that is a cardiorespiratory failure in something, blah, 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 then primary cause, secondary cause. Now, when we are actually assigning a cause of death to a particular case, we need to understand that COVID's role into it is very clearly need to be discerned and need to be communicated, number one. Number two, there is a requirement to work on the calculation. Whenever we are talking about death percentage, etc., what is our denominator? Are we talking about total number of active cases or are we talking about total number of reported cases? Now, where we have issues with testing, where we are having issues with reporting, numbers will always be changing whenever there is a deeper look into it, like a death audit. Number three, we all know about the stigma. There are many places, I can right now talk about my relatives who are actually having problem in mentioning to their neighbors that they are suffering from COVID. If one person die in such an area, how come it will be actually reported properly that it is a COVID-related death? But after that, if there is an audit, if there is a proper verbal autopsy, then these kind of things can come up properly. And then there are issues with delayed reporting. And I already mentioned about the cause of death issues. Given all these, whenever we are getting with the things in real time, those numbers, if revisited, they will be corrected. And one epidemiologist few minutes back in your channel only mentioned about a correction factor, which is very important and pertinent to be in the system. Let us not jump into the speculations of why something was intentionally underreported, blah, blah, blah. Rather than that, let us handle this scientifically and let us try to have a community awareness and community response to have this stigma handled better, especially
absolutely,
when we are also
absolutely.
Having
issues. So let me ask you as an epidemiologist, why is it important that we have a correct fix over the real numbers? Why is it important to measure the real-time mortality impact of the COVID-19 pandemic?
First of all, we always deal with three kind of things for a virus. One is its infectivity, second is its pathogenicity, and third is its virulence. Infectivity means from one infected person, how fast it can infect another. Pathogenicity, once inside the body, how much it can actually, what proportion can actually develop the disease. And virulence, how much it can cause severity up to the level of death or permanent disability. Now, to understand the virulence of different strains, when we are having the strains and variants are changing every other day because of new mutations and all of the stuff, are we needed to be prepared for a more severe one? Are we needed to be prepared for a more fast affecting one? And what is the cumulative effect of this? To understand this, it is very important to understand.
So just to clarify, it is extremely important because it's a statistical measure to guide policy responses, right? Because unless we know how serious the situation is, how bad the problem is, we're not going to be able to come up with solutions to handle this. Okay. Dr. Sarman Singh, I know you've touched in the beginning about the realities on the ground, how it's not always easy. And I want to also say it out openly here. It's not just India that's had issues with reporting or under-reporting death rates. The same issues have been raised in the US. The same issues have been raised in Britain too. But just explain to us logistically what the problems are on the ground when you talked about states in India that have very weak healthcare systems in place.
Yes, Sarah, the most important, I think I will again repeat that the infrastructure in rural areas, most of the, if you see these deaths, whatsoever, you know, the number difference is not from the, urban areas, but most of the discrepancy is coming from the rural areas. There are
where public health systems are poor.
Because many of these patients, they died without even testing. So therefore, there is no system by which they can be registered as corona cases.
Okay.
Also, there were several cases who died as a sequel of the corona, which we know that many patients, they died of heart attack, which is a well-known sequel of the
COVID-19.
And, you know, even if they were there, the deaths were there, there were discrepancies, and there was no real-time reporting. Because the government said that all cases who died in the hospital, they will be handed over to respective municipalities. So municipalities were, you know, the agency, I think they should be
okay. Better. So understood. These are the realities on the ground, but the fact is we need to understand the challenges on the ground and we need to get a real figure because in the end, many would say that, you know, the complacency that we saw after the first wave was also possibly because we didn't really have a real picture of how serious the situation was. But thank you all for joining us tonight on this debate on Left, Right and Center.